Okay, now we heard earlier that Adrian Johnston was very impressed that he was put in the role of warm-up act as Chief Executive Officer for the main man Steve Burnside on our last Midweek Drive show. And as promised, Steve is here to join us for this audio promenade. And Steve, what can I say, this stand, as creator of Fergus the Tractor, you have just... what do you think, Natasha? It's good, isn't it?
I think he's excelled. I mean, there's lovely tinsel all around the stand and apparently Christmas bags ready.
Excelled, Steve. Excelled.
Excelled. X, unknown quantity. Sell, that's my job, yes.
Genius stuff here. We've got lunch boxes, we've got colouring books, we've got table mats, Fergus the Tractor table mats, and of course we've got the books themselves. You can find fergusandfriends.com on Facebook. You can have the gamekeeper story, Bertie's story, soon hopefully the audio story. Steve, a good year?
It's been a steady year. We're selling as many books as we always have done. The cost of living rises don't help, but we're surviving and moving forward.
Yeah, Fergus, the fuel crisis. What about that one?
Fergus wins the lottery, I think. It's got to be the next one.
Yeah, that's all good. Tiffany?
How many different stories and different books have you actually got?
So far, I've published 12. Book 12A, or 13, if you're not superstitious, is being drawn at the moment, which is Fergus at the Circus. And, of course, Fergus at the Barn Fire, we're now thinking of an audiobook, which progress is being made, but obviously cost is the main implication nowadays, and as soon as I've got the money, there will be more to follow.
How's it been so far here today? How do you feel about the atmosphere and everything?
It's always a good atmosphere at Newark. Fortunately, we've got a dry day. It's cold. My toes are telling me two pairs of socks should have been worn. But it's always good in Europe. We're indoors, most of it's undercover, and there's hot food, there's good facilities, and it's just a great atmosphere, lovely people, and it's nice to see people coming back year after year to support me.
So far, Tiffany actually takes the prize for most interesting question when she actually asks some tractor manufacturers. So, what exactly does a tractor do?
Yeah, that is the question I asked.
She's a sophisticated lass from Leicester, she, you see, Steve. You know, tractors, strange things.
This is the beauty of my books, I hope. It takes tractors into homes, it takes tractors into cities, into towns, and it just enlightens youngsters, makes them think a bit more, and educates, hopefully. Tractors, what do? They burn diesel, they get muddy, and they make smelly noises.
See, Tiffany, if only you'd had Fergus the Tractor when you were a child in Leicester, you wouldn't have been, you know, fretting all those years about that question.
I know. If only I was younger and learned about these books now.
You're haggard, going up to 20, what is it, 19 now, 20?
19, yeah.
Good grief, unbelievable.
I remember 19. But then, don't be surprised, I sell my books to older people, I sell them to grandparents, and they are quite a good fun present for somebody who owns tractors. Even the older people do like them.
And Natasha, you said obviously your father would love this show, so would obviously could come along next year and all the rest of the bits and pieces, but he had a bit of an accident with a tractor, and that's the reason he kind of felt that you weren't really suited to drive a tractor.
Yes, I asked him if I could drive a tractor, and he said he didn't really want to teach me. I think it's because he went on one previously when he was ploughing a lawn, and the tractor rolled down the hill with him in it, and he broke his arm, so...
Ouch, ouch, ouch. Yes, tractors, and like any machine, wrongly used or mistakenly used, can cause problems.
You see, Steve, we're sharing the pain today. You know, we've reached the stage now where we feel you're such a regular, solid base of these reports that we need to just share that pain, really. This is more, you're becoming the agony uncle of the sort of tractor-fearing public.
No pain. I do not need any more pain in my life. The back is gone, the knees have gone. And I'm glad I'm not a farmer, because they have even more.
Oh dear, well, I guess it's another new story for you.
Precisely so. Now, in terms of that, obviously, Fergus, is this a mini Fergus we've got here? I mean, I noticed we've got a grey tractor here.
This is the mini Fergus. I built a scale model of a Ferguson T20, which actually works. It's based on a motorcycle engine. And then I realised it was a great advertising tool as a magnet for children. It's their size. They can sit on a tractor and enjoy sitting on a tractor because it's children's size, so it's great. We bring it along, we let the children sit on it, they have a great time, photographs taken, and hopefully it rubs off and they want to take books away at the same time.
See, this is the kind of thing that Julie Corden, Katie Grimmison and Hannah O'Brien would have just, you know, they would have gone for this. But, you know, for various reasons, as we know, Steve, they're not here today, but there we are.
It's a shame, but then there's always new things come along. It's a shame they can't be here to see them again this year.
Exactly. Fergus the Tractor indoors today. Will you be doing any more shows this side of Christmas?
Coventry Museum of Transport next weekend, and several Christmas craft fairs locally in Somerset. I think the last one in Scotland was the last big one we did. Cold, snowy, very, very wet and muddy, but great fun.
So let them have independence. Oh, sorry, a political point.
Oh, no. We won't go down that road.
Fergus the Tractor and the independence debate? No.
Oh, no. As long as they give me pound notes, you know, Scottish pound notes, I'll take. No problem at all.
Good for us. Now, Natasha, you surprised me yesterday by saying that you sort of swung back to your base in Gloucestershire and back to Lincolnshire in the course of a 24-hour period without using a helicopter and driving at speeds which possibly could have been borderline illegal. I mean, in terms of this, would you consider sort of the tractor as a transport mode?
I really want to learn how to use a tractor. I think it might be useful. For example, if someone, you know...
Slight warning here, Steve, that Natasha has been known to go up the wrong way, down a wrong way path, and has had various other challenges. She claims it's the only time it happens, but when she was taking somebody back recently. Would you like to go on record as saying that is the only time it's happened, really?
The only time. And it won't happen again.
Yes. Bottom line, I'm thinking we should really do a location report with you, because you're based in Somerset, obviously Natasha, Gloucestershire. We really should sort of get those counties on the southwest connected, shouldn't we?
I think a location report, you should come down, give me notice, I'll light the barbecue, I'll chill some beer. You're more
it's not
than
like the Wicker Man. We don't actually fry people there, I don't think. I think it's a genuine barbecue, basically.
No, you're more than welcome. Come on down, please.
And a plug for the young man who basically is posed there, like, action, ready to spring into action and a whole range of things. You can see sort of just the thousand-yard stare I was thinking about. I thought, is it Vietnam? No, it's Fergus the Tractor on tour. Quick plug, please.
That's the magnetic draw, not the stare. That's my brother, my one and only employee.
Yeah, heavy.
No. We don't have problems with customers.
Exactly. He's my brother. It's a Holly song. Never mind. Sorry.
Yes.
It's too young to remember it, Steve, obviously.
Dad told me about that one, yes.
Steve and brother, once again, many thanks. We'll be connecting with you again. Obviously, you're a regular phone link person as well, so we'll doubtless do a whole variety of other things. And as you rightly said, hopefully in the very near future, we'll be able to unleash to the world the new exciting Fergus the Tractor audiobook.
Exciting. Always looking forward to new stuff. And I know you'll do a wonderful job, so thank you very much. And it's great to see you again. And it'll be great to talk to you again in the future.
Okay, now, in the background of some of our audio promenades, you may have actually heard the dulcet tones of a young man actually orating and narrating in a way which can only be described as Stuart Hall-esque, amongst other things. We are, of course, referring to the legend that is...
Robert Hennage. I've been waffling at shows for years.
Very good, and a fine waffle you are, sir. Now, obviously, today we are in the 10th edition of the Newark and Notts Vintage Heritage and... Tractor show, exactly.
It's quite a mouthful, and I do not agree. It's much easier just to say the Newark show.
Precisely. This season in particular, though, has been devastating as far as the weather's concerned. How have you found it yourself?
I've had 10 shows cancelled, one twice. A showground I was on in June was washed away 3 days later. But people have been very enthusiastic. They've been so pleased that the show's been running that they've been... keen and exhilarated by going to shows. And actually, it's been a good season, if soggy.
Very true. I know that one of our location reporters, Hannah O'Brien, was devastated. She couldn't do the equine gymnastics at the CLA Game Fair, which was obviously cancelled earlier this year. But Tasha, thoughts for yourself?
Well, we've obviously had a lit round, and we think it's been great so far. There's those different things going on. Mm. Have you had a lit round yourself or found much?
I've seen... tractors, I've seen Land Rovers, I've seen machinery from before tractor days and after tractor days, and it's absolutely astonishing the wide variety of impressive machinery here. And, of course, the trade stands. There's some wonderful goods on offer for sale.
And Heritage, he says, almost choking with the emotion to the fact that Tiffany and Tasha will actually be on the back of a vintage carriage, I believe, shortly. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Still a bit nervous, but...
hopefully it should all go well.
It's a way of kind of putting glamour in the 21st century back into the 19th century, basically, Robert. When you're out on the road and covering all the various shows, etc., are there any particular favourites that you sort of like? I mean, are you more of a great Yorkshire show person, a Lincolnshire show person, more of a kind of East of England scenario, or are you saying, no, it's all got to be West Coast?
I'm all over the country, but I'm a Lincolnshire boy through and through. And so it's the Lincolnshire show for me. I talk about cattle here at the Newark show, and that's fun because it actually is drawn from all over the East Midlands. But no, I'm a yellow belly, really.
Well, proud to be one, sir. I noticed that the canine that you brought along today has been sitting quite quietly, and now she's obviously just relaxing in her own unique way, doing things which I won't describe on radio.
She's a yellow belly too, so of course she relaxes uniquely.
It's been a joy and a delight, Robert. We look forward to connecting with you very shortly. Do you go inside now for the show season? I mean, technically you're inside today, I appreciate that, but would you be covering some of the Christmas craft fairs and so on?
Well, I tried to do the Lincoln Christmas Market, but they imported one of my colleagues and competitors from down south of London, which was gave me serious umbrage.
If it's any consolation, we did 2 years of the Lincoln Christmas Market and they haven't asked us back, so there we are.
But, yes, there's Arena UK, of course, and the shows there. So there are a number of indoor shows that one does. But
Horse of the Year show? Actually, not Horse of the Year, Olympia, of course.
Yeah, Horse of the Year show's been and gone.
I was thinking of 2013 here.
No, unfortunately, I don't do Olympia. That'd be quite fun. And that, of course, would be a nice little income earner in a dull part of the season.
Robert, I thought you did it for the love, not the fight, not the filthy lucre.
I do it for the love, but I do like to have a little bit of income as well. But if you are a commentator at shows, you understand that you're outside, you have your wet weather gear ready.
Absolutely, and 2 pairs of socks, as we said earlier. Robert, a delight as ever. We look forward to connecting with you in the very near future. Who knows, we might even set up a phone link with you.
Wow.
Now, when you actually see the words show manager emblazoned on a high-vis jacket, you realise that, well, you can put your Adrian Johnstons to one side as chief executive officers. You've got a very special person here, the show manager, of course, who is...
Mary Hopkins.
Mary, good to touch base with your good self. I think we spoke telephonically when you were waiting for Adrian to arrive. He didn't arrive, but we were doing a sort of pre-package a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's correct. We were, yes. Yes, nice to talk to you.
Good to connect with your good self. As you said, you come into the press area brimming over with the excitement of the whole system here because there's so many magical things. In addition to all of the tractors and all of the heritage, there's great food as well.
There is indeed. We've got cookery demonstrations as well going on here. We've got Teresa Bovey and Linda Hewitt doing some special cookery get ahead for Christmas recipes.
We'll be heading over there very shortly after the girls have actually been on the back of a heritage cycle. Not a cycle, it's what?
Yes. A little
journey. Horse and cart. Meanwhile, Mary, is this your first official Newark & Notts vintage tractor and heritage show?
It most certainly is, and a lovely show it looks to be today.
What a one to step into. Number 10 for the whole thing, one for yourself, etc. Obviously, in the summer, you had your first ever and last ever Newark & Notts show, but, of course, this next year, the first ever Nottinghamshire County show.
That's correct, yes. We're already well underway with preparations for that and much looking forward to it too.
That's great stuff. Tasha, any questions?
Has it all planned out how you thought it would today?
Yes, in fact, it's going better than expected, I would say.
Yes,
even the sun shining.
Always, you know, you've got to have faith, Mary. That's a key thing. And Tiffany?
Yeah, from a manager's perspective, is everything running smoothly?
It's running as smoothly as I would like it to.
Spot on, you see, it's great stuff. Anyway, we'll let you get back to actually having words with Robert and say you need to be plugging that, etc., and all the things are going well. Mary, we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Well, thank you very much. I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Now, I've just actually been fortunate enough to see an exemplary masterclass in terms of cooking from the whole range of things with, of course, Teresa Bovey and Linda Hewitt. We're delighted to be able to speak to Linda now. Linda, fantastic stuff.
Thank you very much indeed.
Now, every week, I should say, Thursday, 9:30, we do a piece with William Sitwell, of course, the editor of Waitrose Food. He's very keen to that. It's nice to see that Waitrose are obviously sort of seen as supporting the local agricultural field as well.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan myself. I buy all my bread flour there, and I average about 20 bags every 2 to 3 weeks, and they're jolly helpful. But what I do like is that they always feature any local produce when they can. But it's also stocked with wonderful things if you want to do something a little bit more exciting like we did today.
Absolutely. Now, today, of course, the other three of you have been producing ideas for canapes. Christmas, obviously, just a couple of months away, less than that. It's the effortless nature. I mean, that thing which has always impressed me about TV chefs in general, I mean, whether we're talking about the Jamie Olivers on the one hand, etc., the sort of combination of walking, talking, and all the rest of it, so it's fascinating stuff.
Marvellous. I do, coming from a teaching background, sporting background, I do believe that we learn in different processes. And so demonstration is a great way to show people, because often the ideas will stick. But we all have to learn somewhere. And I carry on learning. Often I pick a tip up from people that come to visit a demonstration and we'll talk afterwards. But it's a case of showing, just kind of... inspiring the imagination. Yeah,
I do know that both of my assistants, who are clearly sort of enraptured with the tasting side of things, I think we'll beckon over Natasha at present. This is going to be the crucial point, of course, Linda. Natasha, how's it tasting?
It's really nice, delicious.
Hello, girls.
Tiffany as well, from that point of view. And on a crucial note, we obviously mentioned the William Sitwell connection, which is one thing, but these two girls obviously take part in our annual bake-off and cake-off, etc. So
fantastic. Well, you must email the girls, and I will send you some ideas, or if you want a particular recipe, that's not a problem. Anybody's interested, if they were to email myself, Linda Hewitt, or Teresa Bovey, and I'm sure you'll have a word with Teresa in a moment.
I think so. I think actually we should set up a location report and a sort of a visit with your good selves actually through the whole thing.
I think that would be splendid. Yeah, the more the merrier. And I believe in sharing, because it all comes round, big circle. That's how I learnt, from the strings of my grandmother, and just enthusiasm, and also from actually enjoying eating. And then pass that knowledge on.
Well, that's a crucial thing. Tiffany, questions?
So do you do some lessons? Because I'm really interested, obviously, in food, and I just love cooking. So I'd like to get some of your tips, because this food is amazing.
Thank you very much. Yep, that's exactly what I'm about. I do anything from teaching in schools all the way through the spectrum to giving WI talks. So every age group, from hands-on in primary school to private bread courses.
Natasha, of course, is one of our top vegetarians as well from that point of view, so I think she was particularly interested in the vegetarian recipes. Thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, you had a lot of, obviously, vegetarian options there. I mean, you said you stayed for 3 years in Norway. Did you learn a lot of your recipes there?
That's where I really got heavily into the baking, because Scandinavian baking is wonderful, from the really dense rye breads right through to all the spectacular kind of Danish pastries. So I adore all of those. But I also have a real love of vegetarian and Mediterranean food. And I grew up in the Isle of Man. I've moved around a lot. So lots of influences. And for a... for quite a long period, actually, about 7 years I was vegetarian, so I've got quite a lot of knowledge to bring to the table, so to speak. So love to share that with you.
Yeah, I know, that would be really good.
I sense almost an unfair advantage coming up here, Natasha. I mean, you won it. You won the cake baking thing earlier in the year.
I did.
So there's a whole range of things for that.
Your game. I'll give you a secret recipe. Up the competition.
It's been absolutely fabulous. Again, just keeping William Sitwell as editor of Waitrose Food Happy. There were lots of mentions for the superlative Waitrose package that was coming together from that point of view. Yeah, and name check, obviously, for yourself. Clearly, it's a case of if people are listening to this and they'd like to actually come and take part in these cookery classes.
Yes, well, if they email me at the first instance, Linda Hewitt or Teresa Bovey, we can give them all the information or recipes that they would like. No problem at all. Thank you for your time.
Well, obviously, one of the key folk that was part of this demonstration, as indeed we heard earlier from the Chief Executive Officer, Adrian Johnston, was the fabulous Teresa Bovey. Teresa, good to see you.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Now, you mentioned two words which I thought were particularly interesting, fusion cooking. Fusion cooking. Expand a little bit on that one.
Well, fusion cooking became popular, I think, a few years ago, because we travel so much now, and there are things being discovered, new fruits, new flavours. And what chefs are now trying to do is sort of combine all these different flavours into food. And I sort of brought it into the demonstration because I was talking about going over, when I was over in America, they were pouring maple syrup over salmon, and I couldn't get my head around it at first.
But those Americans, that's so crazy.
But, you know, more and more you get sort of Asian influence in food, and that's basically it. You know, it's the fact they're incorporating sort different things.
Salmon, chicken, tikka masala with blancmange.
Yeah, I think, but the thing is, as we get older, I think we get quite set in our ways, and I know from, you know, a lot of ladies, gentlemen I speak to, we like... Some people like food not meddled with, and they like good produce, serve plainly. And to a certain extent, I am a bit like that. I'm very fond of Mediterranean flavours, so that's my my, you know, what I enjoy most. But I know, you know, we've got a fantastic butcher in Nottingham, and he combines amazing things. He'll put chocolate in with meat, which, you know, to some people they might think, oh no, that's a bit strange. But if you actually tasted the chocolate and the cappuccino with the meat, it marries really well.
And of course, you can go back to the original Cornish pasty. They used to have sort of fruit in one end and sweet in one end, and of course meat and savoury in the other.
That's right. When you look at the history of food, everything, it's almost like things have a 25-year cycle. I know when I left college, I remember giving demonstrations on how to blanch vegetables and use a microwave. You know, growing vegetables sort of disappeared, it wasn't trendy. Suddenly now it's very popular, so who knows, you know, even the microwave might become popular again, I don't know.
Okay, Tasha.
Do you, like, get most of your influences from just trying out things, or have you learned things over time?
I obviously went to college and trained as a home economist, and I just... Sometimes you find things out by accident. You know, if you enjoy cooking and you haven't got an ingredient in the cupboard. I have friends that they follow a recipe and they haven't got one ingredient, so they don't bother making the recipe, whereas I look in the cupboard and see what I can substitute it with. And that's really what cooking's all about. You see what you've got in, you know, you use leftovers. I never waste food. But I know people now have got really busy lives. And, you know, perhaps we need to educate. It's all about education, for me, anyway. I think you should go into schools and talk to young children, and it's starting to happen, because for two generations, cookery disappeared from the curriculum, and it was all about food technology, computing, nutrition, but the actual hands-on practical side went. And I think it's coming back now, so... Yes, the answer to your question is yes, you just need to throw things together and experiment more, and that's what I do.
I'll definitely start trying that then.
Definitely.
Yeah, in your demonstration you did apple crumbles, but healthy version. Yeah. Do you find, like, the fattening foods and desserts just make the dessert? Is it hard to have a nice dessert healthily?
Well, a lot of fruits have got natural sugars in them. And your palate gets used to a certain thing. So, you know, we're being told all the time to cut down on fat, to cut down sugar and cut down on salt. It takes a month for your body to reduce the amount of salt that it's used to eating. My family, my parents, the older generation in my family used to put a lot of salt on foods. So, and they used to overcook their vegetables. They liked the vegetables really quite mushy. Whereas now the chefs and, you know, people are promoting that you cook foods more quickly. So you steam them more, so the nutrients are left. But it takes, our palates are all very different. And if you are used to a lot of salt, it will take about a month before your palate gets used to the reduction.
Keeping it healthy, keeping it real. Teresa, as we mentioned to Linda, I thought the two of you are acting as a tour de force in all sorts of things. I can sense that these those other dynamic duos, such as the Hairy Bikers, not that I'm comparing you to Hairy Bikers, you appreciate, are obviously long history, etc.
Haven't quite grown a beard yet, but you never know.
It's been fabulous, Teresa. We look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future, hopefully.
Thank you very much.
Now, during the course of the presentation, we've just enjoyed and thoroughly sort of appreciated. We had mention, obviously, of a lady and her fabulous meringues and a whole variety of things. Accordingly, being good investigative journalists, we felt we had to have a few words with the legend that is...
The Little Round Cake Company.
And your name is?
Emma.
Emma, okay, Emma from the Little Round Cake Company. We've got some absolutely fabulous things here. I mean, I'm always starting to say, can you choose a favourite from yourself? But is that like asking you to choose between your favourite children?
No, not at all. I've got two favourites. The caramel latte, that's a particular favourite, and also the apple pie as a tweener, yeah.
And those meringues, which have been commented on, obviously, by both Linda and Teresa in terms of the phenomenal size and various other bits and pieces, what is the secret of a good meringue?
Well, these are a Swiss meringue recipe. So that's a recipe using hot sugar into the egg white as it's being whipped. So then that starts to cook the egg white before it goes in the oven. And that leaves it with a very soft, mellowy centre. So it's a very crisp shell with a very mellowy centre.
So in terms of, obviously, I can see that obviously the audience are queuing up already to actually purchase the whole thing, and why not? So why not? Looking at this whole set, roughly how long does it take you to get a presentation like today to hand, really? Is it a month? Is it 6 weeks? Is it a day?
In what respect?
Actually just preparing it and cooking it, etc.
Right, okay. At the Little Rhone Bakery, there's quite a large team, so there's about 6 bakers at any one time. So everything's made fresh that week for the weekend sales. Some things obviously have got a longer shelf life than others. The meringues, for example, they last a good 6 weeks. But the cakes were all made fresh for that week.
I just heard Tiffany, one of our correspondents here, saying, now this is what I call amazing. Tiffany, your questions, please, for the Little Round Cake Company.
Wow. Do you live in Lincoln? Have you got a shop in Lincoln?
No, unfortunately not. No, I've travelled from Shrewsbury today in Shropshire.
It's always very good, you see. You can see the sadness there. She sort of said, are you in Lincoln, etc. But on the other hand, Gloucester is not too far away from Shrewsbury.
No, how long does it take you to make a batch of cakes?
But the bakers in the Little Round Bakery, where I'm from, they start at 6 in the morning and they finish at 6 at night, and they're doing that sort of 5 days a week. So between that time, they're making the cakes, they're making the brownies, they're making the tarts, and of course the original giant Swiss meringues.
I think I'm going to actually, because they've done so well, our two reporters today and midweek drive-outs, I'm going to actually sort of go and get a cake for each of them. What would you recommend we should actually select for them?
Well, I think the tweeners are great because obviously you can have half now and half later with the afternoon tea.
Does that appeal, ladies?
Yeah, definitely.
Right then, well, as I say, it's rare that I should actually get out the wallet for these routines, but I shall do that. But in betwixt times, a plug for the web address for the Little Round Cake Company?
Yes, it's
www.littleroundcakecompany. Fantastic, yes. And will you be actually sort of in the East Coast? I mean, is this the end of the show season for yourself, or are we just moving indoors?
We're just moving indoors, yes. Christmas is always a busy time, obviously. I'm not sure whether we're going to actually be exhibiting in this area between now and Christmas, but obviously...
Get yourself down to Shrewsbury,
yeah,
basically.
Shrewsbury, yes, yeah.
Is it Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury? Because there's a big question mark over that. I always get confused.
Well, I'm originally from Lancashire, and I call it Shrewsbury.
Well, that says it all then.
Well, yes.